Chapter 15. Something about Mars. Are we really in motion? Asked Jack, after a moment's silence.
It doesn't seem so.
We are certainly in motion, declared Mr. Rauman.
See this dial? He pointed to one near the steering wheel. The hand on it was gently vibrating between some of the figures.
We are traveling that many miles a second, went on the scientist.
The atmospheric motor is not working as fast as I hoped it would, but we are going fast enough.
When we start the Ethereum machine, we shall go much more speedily.
And when will that be? Asked Mark.
I can't tell exactly.
It will not be until we have passed through the atmosphere of the Earth, and there is no way of ascertaining in advance just how thick that stratum is.
Then how will you know? Asked Jack.
By means of my instruments. When the hand on this dial points to zero, I will know that we are beyond the atmosphere, and that it is time to start the Ethereum motor.
How do you know in which direction to steer? Asked Mark.
You see anything out of that window?
Not a thing, replied the German.
Look for yourself.
Jack and Mark peered through the plate glass. All they could see was a sort of white, fleecy mass of clouds that surrounded the great projectile.
It's just like when we were above the clouds in the Electric Monarch, said Jack.
Exactly, agreed Mr. Henderson.
But if you can't see anything, how can you tell where to steer? Asked Mark.
By means of this instrument, replied Mr. Rauman, indicating another among the many on the wall of the projectile.
This is automatically kept pointed at Mars, and by means of a hand and dial I can tell how to keep the annihilator aimed directly at the red planet.
Even when it is on the opposite side of the Earth from us? Asked Jack.
We are now far above the Earth, was the answer, and the planet on which we lived offers no obstruction to my telescope being pointed at Mars, even though it is daytime, when Mars is on the opposite side of the Earth.
Have we traveled as far as that? Asked Jack in awestruck tones.
We have come just 30,000 miles since leaving the Earth, replied Mr. Rauman.
But we don't seem to be moving at all, objected Mark.
That is because we are shooting through space so fast, and because you can see no stationary objects with which to make a comparison, as when you are traveling on a railroad train, continued the German.
And, as we are not dependent on tracks, or roads, with their unevenness, there is no motion to our projectile, save that of moving through space.
That is why it seems as if we were standing still.
But 30,000 miles, cried Jack.
Atmosphere was variously estimated at from only 40 to 200 miles in thickness.
The oxygen atmosphere may be, agreed Mr. Rauman.
As a matter of fact, the atmosphere we are now in would not support life for you and me a single instant.
But it is atmosphere, nevertheless, or my instruments would indicate something different, and my atmospheric motor would not work.
No, I expect to be traveling through the atmosphere for several days yet.
Then we shall reach the true ether, and the Ethereum motor will be put into operation.
Well, said Jack, this trip isn't going to be very strong on scenery, anyhow.
No, agreed Mr. Rauman.
We shan't be able to observe anything but this fleeciness until we get to Mars.
We can see the stars and moon at night, can't we? Asked Mark.
There isn't going to be any night, replied the German with a smile.
We are now in the region of perpetual day.
No night, repeated Jack blankly.
No.
Just stop to think for a moment,
and are many thousands of miles away from it.
You know that which causes night and day on the Earth is the rotation of it on its axis.
Half the time the part we are living on is turned away from the sun, and the other half of the time turned toward the sun.
Now, the sun is fixed in space.
We are so comparatively small that there will never be any shadows to cause night.
We are like a small point in space, and the sun is constantly shining on us.
We do not revolve, so there will no night, only day.
Are we headed for the sun?
Asked Mark.
No, for Mars. but as we will take good care not to head for any other planet, so as to get it between us and the sun, we shall never have any darkness.
But it doesn't look like sunshine out there, objected Jack, pointing out of the window.
No, because we are surrounded by a mass of vapor. I think it will presently pass, and we shall see the sun.
The difference in temperature between the projectile and the surrounding atmosphere causes us to be enveloped in a sort of cloud.
When the outer shell of the annihilator is the same temperature as the atmosphere through which we are flying, we shall emerge into sunlight.
This happened a little later, and so on they could observe the great ball of fire hanging in space.
It seems to be smaller than when we were on the Earth, doesn't it?
Asked Mark.
It is seemingly smaller, replied Professor Henderson. We are going away from the sun, you know. Mars is not as close to it as we are on our planet.
I mean the one we have just left.
Is 92 millions of miles from the sun, while Mars is 141 millions of miles away, though its orbit is so eccentric, that distance varies about 13 millions of miles.
That is, it may be 13 millions of miles more than its mean, or average, distance,
so that at times it is as far away from the sun as 154 millions of miles.
My, that's a good ways, observed Mark.
Yes, went on Mr. Henderson, and, in consequence, the light and heat received by Mars from the sun is a little less than half of that which our Earth receives.
Whew! We'll be mighty cold in winter.
If we arrive in winter, said Jack with a shiver.
Unless the Martians have a means of making up for this loss of light and heat, said Mr. Rauman.
I believe they have. I shall be much interested in seeing how the great canals on the planet are dug, said Professor Henderson.
I have seen a map of Mars, made by a scientist named Schiaparelli, and he has drawn a number of large bodies of water, among which are intermixed continents and islands.
The surface of Mars must be a curious one.
I believe we shall find it so, spoke Mr. Rauman.
Astronomers tell us that the water on it is never frozen, except near the poles.
There great ice caps are to be found.
But what makes the planet so red?
Asked Jack.
That, said Mr. Rauman quickly, is what we hope to discover and use for our benefit, but I not wish to discuss it now.
They talked of Mars for some time further, discussing the many queer features, and during this time the annihilator was shooting through space at terrific speed.
Inside the projectile the adventurers moved about, living and breathing, comfortably as if they were on Earth, for the great tanks of stored air provided all the oxygen they needed.
Nor did they feel either heat or cold thanks to the marvelous construction of the projectile.
Isn't the year on Mars longer than the year on Earth? Asked Jack as he and Mark stood near the entrance to the pilot house, interested in watching the various indicators record the speed they acquired, the distance traveled, and the density of the atmosphere.
Yes, it is about twice as long, answered Rauman.
But I shall tell you more about planet.
If you will kindly promulgate yourselves in this direction, you will find sufficient condiments and disproportionate elements to induciate a feeling of intense satisfactoriousness, exclaimed Washington White, poking his head in from the sleeping room compartment.
That means dinner is ready, cried Jack.
That's the stuff.
Our first meal on the trip to Mars.
Through space to Mars by Rockwood.